health.
Cardiovascular disease is one of Australia's key health problems, and it affects about 4 million people. Now, while you may be familiar with conditions like heart disease, stroke, and heart attacks that can all result from cardiovascular disease, many people are less familiar with the equally dangerous condition, heart valve disease. What you say? Yes, I know. Doctors are worried about the growing number of Australians who are developing heart valve disease, particularly those who don't realise they have the condition. Professor David Salamai is one of Australia's top cardiologists and director of the Adult Congenital Heart Services and Pulmonary Hypertension Services at Sydney's Royal Prince Alfred Hospital. He's also clinical director of the Heart Research Institute, and he joins us to explain what heart valve disease is. David, good evening and welcome to Nightlife.
Hi, Phil. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you with us. What kind of job do the valves in our heart do?
So there are four of them in most people's hearts, and they're like one-way traffic cops. They ensure that the blood goes forward but doesn't go backwards. And so they're a bit like doors that open just inwards or outwards. They go just one way, and they should open fully, and they should close fully so that there can be no backflow. So that's what a normal valve should do.
Okay. So they're, what controls them? Are they controlled by the nervous system, or how do they open and close?
No. They're passive. They're actually pretty dumb, like most of the heart. They just respond to forces. Mm-hmm. So if the pressure on one side of the valve exceeds the pressure on the other, it will open. And when the pressure on the other side exceeds on the front side, they will close. And they should open fully, but they should close flush. So if the heart starts to pump, the outlet valves will open. And if they don't open fully, they provide a narrowing or a pressure load on the heart. And if they don't close fully, there's a backflow which can put a volume load on the heart. So they're exquisite in their formation. They open and close over 1 billion times in our lifetime with nary a complaint, but they're not controlled from the nervous system. They just respond to the pressure on either side of them.
All right. What causes damage to the valves? And what happens when they're damaged?
Yeah, there are two main causes. One that some of your listeners will know about is called rheumatic heart disease, mm-hmm. and that's caused by an affliction usually in childhood called acute rheumatic fever. And the reason that's just worth mentioning, even though it's the rarer cause of heart valve disease, is that it disproportionately affects Indigenous Australians. In fact, rural Australians have the highest rate of rheumatic heart disease in the world. And because it's a disease of poverty that should have been eradicated, that is a little bit of a national shame that we still have such high rates of acute rheumatic fever leading to rheumatic heart disease. And sadly, I've just been reviewing the case of a 17-year-old boy who died in custody from rheumatic heart disease that could have and perhaps should have been fixed. Mm. So the less common cause of heart valve disease is rheumatic heart disease, but terribly important in Indigenous Australians. By far the commoner cause of heart valve disease is the wear and tear that occurs with age. So what we call degenerative heart valve disease, it's a bit like osteoarthritis in the heart. There's just wear and tear. And if a valve is asked to open and close often enough, it often gets a bit thick, it doesn't open properly, and it might not close properly. So age-related valve disease is the one that's really common in older Australians.
Mm-hmm. What kind of symptoms would you have if you have heart valve disease? I mean, is it a condition that's easy to recognise?
Well, there's the trick. So it normally causes breathlessness or lethargy and fatigue. And many people who have heart valve disease and don't know about it, and that's probably 250,000 Australians, ascribe the effects of valve disease to just getting older. Mm-hmm. So someone who's 70 might say, you know, I'm breathless when I walk up a flight of stairs, but I guess it's just because I'm getting on a bit. But in fact, it's an easily fixable problem with their heart valve, but they've misattributed it to the effects of aging. And sometimes people just don't want to be a bother. So they can neglect those symptoms, particularly if they're of gradual onset rather than sudden onset.
Okay. One of the first signs of heart valve disease is often something called a heart murmur. A murmur is heard when blood flows through the heart valve that doesn't open or close properly. I mean, is a patient aware of this, or can only a doctor detect this?
Let me be Dr. 101 for a sec. We refer to symptoms as something the patient complains of, and signs are things that a doctor can detect. So breathlessness and fatigue are symptoms, but a murmur is a sign because it's something that a doctor will detect when he or she gets out their trusty stethoscope and places it gently on your chest, and they will hear what's a whooshing sound. So what's a murmur? A murmur isn't like the hubbub at intermission at a movie. A murmur is a sound like this, shh, that a patient can't hear with their own ears, but a doctor can very easily hear with a stethoscope.
Okay. Not all murmurs mean problems with your heart valve, though, do they?
No, that's correct. So about 50% of children have a murmur just because they're excitable and the blood flows very fast through their heart. Pregnant women have murmurs. People with a fever have murmurs because it's just accelerated blood flow through the heart that the doctor can detect with their stethoscope. But in the elderly, in an older person, say over 65, who's just resting or relaxing, if they have a heart murmur, it's usually pathological. It usually connotes either a narrowing or a leaking of one of the heart valves. Now, that can be mild and not of significance for the person. But what we're worried about is that there are many tens of thousands of Australians who have moderate or severe valvular disease, which threatens their quality and quantity of life and isn't being detected and treated appropriately.
I'm talking with Professor David Salamai, one of Australia's top cardiologists, and we're talking about heart valve disease. People know about heart attacks, et cetera, and cardiovascular disease, but this problem affects maybe a quarter of a million Australians and could be treated if diagnosed better. We'll talk about that in a moment. What are the risk factors for it? Can you look after your heart valves other than the normal things of eating well and keeping fit?
No, the heart valves don't tend to respond to the normal environmental factors that you and I associated with heart disease, like smoking, alcohol, high cholesterol, high blood pressure, diabetes. They're not necessarily risk factors for heart valve disease. The risk factors are only rheumatic fever in the young and increasing age in the old. And it can run in some families. So there's a genetic predisposition to it as well. But if I can give you an example, Phil, there's a beautiful elderly gentleman that I looked after just a fortnight ago, 87 years old, a fantastic fellow, looks after his wife who's got mild dementia, and he came in via his GP who'd heard a murmur because he couldn't walk around the house anymore without getting very breathless. And he had an incredibly narrow valve in his heart. If the area of a normal valve is, say, 4 square centimetres, his was 0.5 square centimetres. So his heart was really working hard to get blood through that very narrow valve. And we were able to diagnose the problem with just an ultrasound. And then he had a procedure through a catheter in the leg to give him a new aortic valve, which was beautiful and widely open. And the day after the procedure, he went home, he could walk up a flight of stairs, and he's back home looking after his wife and feeling really, really well. So that's the kind of thing that, and not everyone who's 87, I just pick him because he's top of mind and such a fine fellow, but that's the kind of thing that we're worried is being missed at the moment.
Why I mean, I said that there are something like, well, there might be more, actually. There, I think a quarter of a million. There might be more than half a million Australians living with heart valve disease. Why are case numbers rising, or is it just that we can diagnose it more better?
Yes, two factors, exactly as you just say. Because there are really great treatments now for it, whenever there's a great treatment for something, you find more of it because people are incentivized to diagnose it because you know there's a really good treatment for it. Mm-hmm. But the other thing is because of the great successes in the treatments of cancer, other kinds of heart disease, lung diseases, and so on, Australians are living longer. And because this is a disease of middle and old age, the fact that the population are aging in a healthy way means we're seeing more valvular disease because it is a disease of older age groups.
Mm-hmm. All right. So if you are breathless, you should see a doctor. And if you do have heart valve disease, then you say there are treatment options. Tell me about the treatment.
Yeah, so just to qualify something you said slightly, I think that everyone who's over 65, who presumably would visit their doctor once a year, should just say, you know, doc, listen to my heart. You know, in the same way that you take my blood pressure, listen to my heart, see if I've got a murmur. Now, the ways to treat it, there are three ways to treat it. If it's relatively mild, it can be helped with some medications. So there are some people who are breathless with valve disease and just taking a particular well-tolerated tablet a day will make people feel enormously better. But if it's moderate or severe, because it's a plumbing problem, it sometimes needs a plumbing solution. And the plumbing solutions can either be an operation. And although that sounds scary, in our experience and in most of Australia, valve repair or valve replacement surgery, even in the very elderly, about 98% of people will come through such an operation completely well. So I think everyone has the idea that heart surgery in the elderly is terribly dangerous, but in expert hands, and there are many expert hands in this wonderful country of ours, the risk of complications from such surgery is very low. Mm-hmm. And then perhaps even more excitingly, and this is almost space age, if you like, we can now replace a valve, not with open heart surgery, but in some cases we can do it through a catheter or a very skinny tube that you place in someone's leg.
Wow.
And I remember doing the first one that I ever did on June the 30th, 2009, taking someone who otherwise would have needed to join the zipper club, have a big operation, and putting a 3 or 4 millimeter tube in the blood vessel at the top of their leg and replacing their degenerated, terrible valve with a fresh new one in a procedure that took about 90 minutes and was totally successful. So I'm not saying everyone with a valve problem either needs or is suitable for this, but one of the more new treatments for valve disease is replacing it not with an open operation but with these phenomenal, minimally invasive procedures.
Wow. All right. So check how you get it checked out and be aware of it, heart valve disease. David, it's been fantastic talking to you and having your expertise. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the opportunity, Phil. Good night.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.